You need to break them down into their smallest possible steps. It's not about leaping tall buildings in a single bound. Sometimes you have to walk up step after step after step after step. And that is okay, because eventually you're going to turn around and you're going to look at all the steps you've climbed and you're going to just be amazed at how far you've gotten. Hi, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast, where we interview cutting-edge creative artists, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are changing the world. We also bring you tips and techniques that you can implement. This episode is brought to you by my favorite productivity hack, the Brain FM app, this podcast's hosts, Podbean, as well as my book, Speak From Within. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Grateful that you're taking the time to listen. So this is an episode that is super close to my heart, and it's part of a series that's taking a while, and I get it, and I apologize in advance, but I'm talking about something that a lot of us go through at some point in your life. Some people call it the midlife crisis. Some people call it midlife course correction, whatever it is you call it. At some point, when you are at some point, you go, am I living the life I'm supposed to be living? Am I doing the work I'm supposed to be doing? And a lot of people who went into, for example, a career that they thought they needed to go into to make sure they had money, to make sure they could pay the bills, end up going, should I be doing what I'm doing? Or is there something else I could be doing? Something that I've dreamed of doing, something that I've wanted to do and just never did. Right. I know so many people. A friend of mine, for example, was an accountant for many years and then realized what he really wanted to do was circus arts. So he saved enough money as an accountant and switched and became a variety entertainer. I know other people who are incredible visual artists, for example, who work their day job, which is perhaps a designer or something like that, and they then move into or want to move into doing more fine arts, sculpting, painting, that sort of thing. So we find ourselves in this situation of going, okay, who am I and what am I going to do? What is next? And I wanted to talk about this because I'm talking about it. The next episode in this series is going to be about retirees. Like, if you're newly retired, what are you going to do? This one is about changing careers. This one is about what do you need to do if you're working a career or working a job that is just not satisfying. Now, let's presuppose that you have enough money to make these changes or at least are close, right? I'm not going to advocate take this job and shove it and go run somewhere else. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go, oh, this is something that has no meaning at all. That's not it. I understand financial, believe me, I understand financial constraints and I get it. I want to talk to you though about the mindset, and I want to talk to you about some of the steps that you can take if you're ready or if you think you're ready to make that shift towards a more creative life, towards a more creative career. So if you're ready to think about that, if you're ready to transition from a more conventional career to maybe something that's more dynamic or creative, I want to talk about that. Yes, I get it. I get it. I get it. If you're a mid-career professional and you are in a position of going, okay, is this the thing that I should be doing? It can absolutely be daunting. So if you're just thinking about it, if you've just started wondering about it or daydreaming about it, or if you're just simply ready to make that change now, I want to talk to you about it. So making that change, that leap can, honestly, it can be exhilarating and also intimidating. So whether you're sort of dreaming of working in a way that aligns more closely with your passions, or you're simply exploring some of those creative avenues to offset, to supplement your career that's already going on, there are a lot of possibilities for you to explore. But before you take that leap, just to sort of be responsible, I want to explore an alternative approach that could provide a lot of valuable benefits while you're in this process. Before you embark a full-fledged, woohoo, I'm done with that. I'm starting something totally new. I'm going to ask you to consider exploring some changes along the way, some interim changes within what you're already doing. So let me explain. This approach of sort of going, okay, what can I do with what I'm already doing to make it more, not just palatable, but more exciting, more compelling, more something that's closely aligned to what I actually want. I want you to think about it that way, right? Because there are two big advantages here. You can have financial stability while you're thinking about this change, and you can have that, you can gain that renewed sense of suffused creative energy. So before I go further, here's an idea. Check in with your boss and explore opportunities to bring more creativity into what you're already doing. So you can maybe create sort of a little cushion financially for yourself while you plan your next move. And you can sort of maintain that stability while you transition into something that's more creative, more fulfilling, and that will lead you on to the next steps of your journey. Now, it's important to note that there's nothing wrong with doing this, right? There are some people who are like, screw you, Isolde, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move on. I want to make this happen. And I completely get it. I understand, particularly today. This is April 15th. It's tax day. And I know a lot of us are going, as you're putting in the finishing touches on your taxes, you're kind of going, okay, I've earned the money. And bully for you, yay, if you did. But is it the way I want to be earning money? And what can I do to make things a little bit more exciting? Right? So I completely understand, but I do want to keep talking about this because if you bring more creativity into the role you already have, you can really boost your enthusiasm for what you're doing, right? You can revitalize your work routine. You can make the planning process for your future much more exciting and invigorating and full of ingenuity while you give yourself that little bit of a cushion, whether it's financial or just having that transition be something that isn't quite so, and I'm done. So I want to talk to you about that. And I want to say, okay, if you're going to talk to your boss, you want to communicate what you want to do effectively. Right? You don't want to be like, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. Instead, you want to talk about it in a way that, I remember I had Caskey Skinnitt's Diplomacy is the Art of Telling Someone to Go to Hell in such a way that they actually look forward to the trip on my wall as a teenager. And I'm not saying you're saying go to hell to your boss. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is you want to be able to talk about this in a way that your boss is going to view it in the spirit that you intend it, which is, hey, I'm not as happy as I could be. And here's a way that would help me be happier in what I'm doing and a way that you can keep me, at least for a little while longer, doing what I'm doing, right? That's something that's important. It's like, okay, your boss, if they're a good boss, they're going to want you to be happy in what you're doing. Right? No boss wants you to suffer, or at least no good boss wants you to suffer. So going, hey, I'm not happy, but here's a way to make me happier, and providing and presenting sort of a plan for how that could happen is a really good thing. So I'm going to actually give you a sample script about how to talk about this with your boss. Now, you're going to need to personalize it, and your boss is going to likely not respond in the exact same way I have it detailed. But this is going to get you started to communicate your needs and your wishes effectively. So picture this. You're about to have a conversation with your boss and you're ready to discuss bringing more creativity into your current role. So I want to give you this sample dialogue and sort of guide you through this important conversation. Here we go. This is you. Hey, Margaret, do you have a moment to chat? Margaret, of course. What's on your mind? You, well, I've been doing some thinking about my career goals and what I'd like to do, and I've realized that I'm really passionate about incorporating more creativity into my work. Margaret, oh, that's great to hear. What ideas do you have in mind? You, Well, I've been thinking about how we could introduce more innovative approaches and creative solutions into some of our projects, whether it's brainstorming new ideas, leading some creative initiatives, or finding some of those innovations to some of the challenges we're facing in my department or in the company. I believe it could really drive results. Now, here's an important thing. Give your boss the benefits of what you will bring and what they will get, what results they can expect by allowing this to happen, by encouraging it to happen, right? You always want to focus on what are the results they're going to get if they do what you want. So that's a little aside. Here we go. And the boss might say, I see. Well, that sounds promising. How do you imagine incorporating some of these changes into what you're already doing? You. I'm willing to adjust my current tasks to make room for more creative projects. I think it could not only enhance my job satisfaction, but I think I'd contribute a lot to the success of our whole team. Margaret, boss, I appreciate your initiative and your enthusiasm. I want to discuss this further, and let's see how we can bring more creativity into your role while ensuring that it aligns with our team's goals. Now, the boss is always going to be worried about that, right? So be aware that these are the kinds of things that you're going to want to address when you talk about this so that the boss feels like you've got this, right? That you're not coming in and going, again, take this job and shove it. And the last thing you could say is, thank you. I'm excited about the possibilities. I really believe that bringing more creativity into what I'm doing is going to unlock new opportunities for growth and success in our whole team. And there you have it. It's a simple, but it's an effective conversation starter to talk about bringing that creativity into your current role. And remember, the key to all of this is open communication, because that's what's going to foster positive change on your entire career journey. Okay, moving on. So let's say you're ready to go. Let's say you're like, okay, that's it. You need to craft your creative vision. What is it that you imagine? So as you think about a career change, I think it's really important to define that creative vision. This is going to serve as your guiding light, right? It's going to, as you navigate all of this uncertainty, because it is uncertainty, especially if you're mid-career, to go, you know what, I'm going to do something completely different. I'm going to explore a completely new avenue. Or even if it's not completely new, you're still in a position where things are going to be different. But I want you to think about these two additional tips that are going to help you hone in on your vision. First, I want you to think about and reflect on your past experiences. I want you to identify moments of pure joy and fulfillment. What activities or pursuits ignited your passion and enthusiasm? These insights are going to provide you some valuable clues and inform your creative vision. I'm going to give you mine. The most exciting moment in my professional life, I will say, happened actually in college. Now, something to think about here is that I have had some really exciting times in my life. I've traveled all over the world for NASA. I have performed for thousands. I worked at an event at the White House. I've gotten to do some incredible things. But if I were to really be honest about the thing that made me go, this is the thing, it was when I directed a play in college for a women's studies class that I was taking. I'm totally serious. We were required to do a class project, and I decided to, this is women's studies, so it had to be sort of focused on women and the role of women and women's struggles and all of that. So I decided that what I really wanted to do was direct a play. And I chose a feminist play by a woman named Pam Jems called Dusa Fish, Stoss, and Vides, British play. And it had four women as the actors. And I went to my professor and I said, this is what I'd like to do, because as part of the class, we had to do a social action. And I went, this is going to be the social action I want to do. And her name was Sherry, as I recall. And she went, okay, put on some constraints. The people who were in the play all had to either be in women's studies classes or had to have taken a women's studies class. My friend Christina Leet, Mary Scott O'Connor, Julianne Schechter, and Merritt, and I do not remember Merritt's last name. I apologize. Anyway, they were the women who I asked to be in the show. And then I put on and produced with a $50 budget, 50, not 1500, not 5000, not 50,000, 50 bucks. I put on a show. I got use of the Black Box Theater in the Fries Building at the University of Michigan. We scrounged and found the furniture for the set. We did everything we needed to do. I chose this play in part because there was not a lot of set changes. Everything took place in one space, which was the apartment the four women shared together. And the costuming was provided by the actors themselves. And we worked on this like crazy. And I lived, I breathed, it was blood, sweat, and tears. And I loved every second of it. There was not a second of that experience that I don't look back on and go, yes, even the frustrating stuff was just incredible. And truthfully, if I were to say, what is the thing that I want to do most? It's write and direct plays. That's it. Ta-da, I've said it. So when I talk about all of this stuff and I go, this is the life I want to lead, it took me a long time to get here, right? I did the same mid-career change. I left NASA. I did all this stuff. My husband and I moved to New York. I've written plays. I'm in the middle of writing a musical right now. I'm participating in something called End of Play, which is about, it's the Dramatists Guild has put on this thing, kind of like NaNoWriMo, but for plays, where from April 1st to April 30th, you are writing a full-length play or a full-length musical. First draft only, luckily. And I'm writing a musical, and I'm very excited about it. And by hook or by crook, I want to put this puppy on. I want to put on Listen, which is my first play, and I want to direct them. I want to do that. It's my favorite freaking thing to do, right? And it's taking me a long time to get there because, frankly, they don't just go, oh, sure, you can go ahead and direct a Broadway play. That's not how it works. So I am not quite at the bottom, but I'm pretty close to the bottom of trying to get this part of my career, this part of my career journey off the ground. So when I talk to you about this, I'm talking through personal experience. And yes, I have other things I'm doing. I'm still doing my communication and creativity workshops in companies. I am loving all of my coaching clients for Out of Sight Insight Coaching, all of that. And the thing that makes me go, ah, is always going to be directing plays. It just is. So that's why I say to you, reflect on your past experiences. Figure out for yourself what that thing is that makes you sizzle. And that's the thing you want to focus on. Some aspect of that is the thing that's going to make you feel like you are truly, truly alive. Okay, next, the other point. Don't be afraid to explore. Try different creative outlets. If you're not like me, who has secretly known and not so secretly known that directing plays and writing plays was the thing that she wanted to do for her whole life, if you aren't sure, try new things. Go and take an evening and try to paint and try different industries. Talk to people, attend workshops, take some online courses. Give yourself permission to start new hobbies. Anything that sparks your curiosity. If you expose yourself to a bunch of different kinds of experiences, you're gonna get inspired and you're gonna gain some clarity and you're gonna ultimately shape the next bit of your career path. Okay, the next thing to think about is there gonna be challenges? If you're going to go through this transition, and I hope you do, because that's my, as you can tell, that's really what I love. When you're transitioning from a traditional career to a more creative pursuit, it's going to have some challenges. But I have some tips that are going to help you navigate this whole thing with some confidence. First of all, you deserve to do it. You have to remember that. Before you do anything else, you have to remember that you deserve to have a life and work that you are thrilled to do every day, that you put both feet on the ground when you wake up and you go, yes, this is the life I want to be living. So before anything else, remind yourself, maybe do some affirmations, things like that. Remind yourself out loud, I deserve to do work I love. Boom. Next, I want you to think about adopting a growth mindset. All of these different challenges are opportunities. You're going to learn and you're going to grow. Rather than looking at them like roadblocks, look at them as chances to do something cool, to do something new, and to work on your resilience, because most of the time, creative careers are going to require you to be really resilient and really adaptable. Because anytime you're going to have these kinds of uncertainties, anytime you're going to do these transitions, it's going to be uncertain. And on top of that, everybody's a critic. This is something to remember. Right. And I, as someone who's trying to do more directing, the critics will probably be vicious and will tear you apart, will tear me apart. And I'm going to just have to deal with that, because my vision is my mission at this point. And what I really want to do is help other people gain that creative clarity and live their lives while I'm gaining my creative clarity so I can live mine and do the work that I truly love. And you know, and I've had people ask me, well, why don't you just dive in whole? You know, I don't want to say whole hog. You know what I mean? All the way in, all in. That's it. Poker term. Why don't you just go all in? I think the reason that I love and will keep on doing my coaching and my consulting work, even if I start doing full-time directing, I'm going to still make time for my clients, because this is one of my missions in my life, is to help other people get to that place where they feel like their lives are full of juice and sizzle, where you feel creative, where you feel abundant, where you feel bountiful, where you feel like anything is possible because you are living the life you are meant to be living. So I'm never going to stop doing that, no matter if somebody says to me, Isolde, we need you to direct this on Broadway show. I'm still going to see my clients. I'm still going to do workshops on this because it is that important to me. So please remember that you have to be resilient. You have to be adaptable, but you also have support if you need it. And that's the next point on this, is seek support. I want you to surround yourself with mentors, with peers, with career coaches, anybody who's walked this path before. And yes, I have, and am walking it right now. So I could help too, if that's something you wanted to do, we could definitely do some coaching. But people who have been there before you, people who are further along the path, are going to have insights and experiences that are going to give you perspectives and give you guidance that's going to prove invaluable. That's something super important to remember, because you don't have to do this alone. Next, you're going to want to set some clear and actionable goals, right? If you're going to make progress in this, if you're going to make this a creative career that you are working, I'm going to give you a couple of other tips to help you set those meaningful goals. First, I want you to break down all of those long-term goals into smaller, achievable milestones. And I'm going to ask you to celebrate each milestone as you make progress. So for example, I wrote the book, Get Your Stuff Done, with an eye towards whatever projects, whatever achievements you want, you need to break them down into their smallest possible steps. It's not about leaping tall buildings in a single bound. Sometimes you have to walk up step after step after step after step. And that is okay, because eventually you're going to turn around and you're going to look at all the steps you've climbed and you're going to just be amazed at how far you've gotten. So break all of those long-term goals into smaller, chewable, biteable bits. And then each time you achieve one, let that celebration motivate you as you go forward, because motivation is so important. You know, it's funny. I was in a networking group yesterday and we were talking about this notion of achieving and what it means to do that, to realize your goals. And I said, you know, one of the things is you have to keep working at it. You have to keep practicing, but it's really important to stay motivated. You have to figure out what your motivation is to do the thing you're trying to do, because if you don't have something that's spurring you on, eventually you're going to get bored, or you're going to get disheartened, or you're going to get depressed, and you're just going to peter out and stop. And you don't want to do that. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to, as I said, visualize those goals. Create a vision board or some other form of visual representation that's going to keep your wishes and your dreams and your aspirations front and center. You need those visual reminders. Now, it's possible to do it auditorily. You can record it for yourself, but something that's going to be something that you can see or hear a lot are going to serve as powerful, powerful motivators because they're going to help you stay focused on what you decided you wanted to do. For me, I'm just writing every day. I'm writing every day. I'm practicing piano. I think I've mentioned this on the show before, that that's something I do. I practice the piano every day now because I want to be able to write songs for the musicals I'm writing and be able to know enough about the piano for when I'm directing shows that I will be able to have that vision, but also contribute fundamentally to what's happening as the show takes place, as it takes shape, right? Because if you don't know what you're doing, it's going to show. So I never want to be to a place where I'm completely lost. I'm not worried about asking for help. If I need it, that's not the point. And you shouldn't be either. If you need help, ask for help. It's more like if I'm given the responsibility and the honor to direct a show, I don't want to be a babe in the woods. I want to have as many tools in my toolbox as possible so that I can help shape a truly amazing production for every production I direct. And that is part of my goal as I move forward into the, what I will say is, I'm not going to say this is my last career, who knows, but it's the next phase of what I want to do. And more, I'm not going to cry. More and more, this is why I'm here. I am here to create and put on productions of shows that are going to make a difference in the way we view the world. There's nothing like it for me. There's nothing like it when I was in college. There's nothing like it in the little bits of theater I've done along the way. And there's nothing like it in the work that I'm doing now and will be doing for the next, I don't know how many years, as long as I possibly can. And so it's the focus, but it's also the practice. Both need to happen in order for this career change to occur. So as you stand at this crossroads of career change, again, I want you to know that you're not alone. There are coaches out there, I'm one of them, who can be a secret weapon or a tool in your toolbox, who can offer you guidance and support to navigate some of the pitfalls and the complexities of this whole thing. Now, whether you're ready to dive in headfirst and go, that's it, I'm moving, I'm doing, or you just want to bring some creativity into your current work, coaching can empower you to explore your options and set meaningful goals and chart a course, really, for success. So if you're ready to go all in, or if you just need two cards in your hand, that's something for you to think about. It's like, how do I want to do this? Am I all in on this change, or do I just need two cards to what I'm already doing? I don't know why I'm doing poker analogies, but that's what I feel like. Like we're playing five card draw. Anyway, I want you to remember that if you are ready to make the change, or if you're not sure where to start, please reach out. There's a way to leave me a voicemail if you want to talk about this a little bit, or you want to book a couple of coaching sessions so that I can help you unlock that idea and perhaps even come up with a plan of action. Because one of the things that you need to know is that you're not expected to know all the answers yourself. So if you want to get some ideas about that, you want to get some coaching sessions around that, get in touch with me. You can get in touch. You can leave me a voicemail on SpeakPipe. There's a way to just book a discovery call or a complimentary short little session with me. Just let's just chat and see if there's something I can do to help you get on your way. I would love to hear from you. So I would love to note that it's there if you want it. All righty. I hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. Whew, it was a longer one than I thought it was going to be because I find that this is so important, especially to me, especially right now, as someone who is navigating into this new thing. I love that I'm getting to do this, and I love that I'm getting to help my clients do it. Honestly, this is sacred work as far as I'm concerned. moving closer to what your heart dreams of as the work you do with your hands and your life is the thing for me. So if I can help you do that, I would love to help you do that. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg reminding you that this episode, as always, is brought to you by my favorite creativity app called Brain FM. And this is an affiliate thing for me. So if you decide to try it out, because I use it for productivity, I used it to do my taxes, everything I can. I love it. And I use it to hone my creative skills too. It's lovely. Plug in your earbuds and just go, and you can get all sorts of stuff done and created and thought about and meditated and you name it. So that's one of the sponsors of today's show. The other sponsor is my book, Get Your Stuff Done. And of course, as always, my book, Speak From Within. Until next time, and again, as always, this is Isolde Trachtenberg reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the show if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2024. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope.